Testing. Good morning. Okay, how's everybody doing this morning? Is joy of the Lord your strength this morning?
Yes.
Is it? You sure?
Amen.
I don't have to ask that a second time, right? Okay, very good. We're on top of that one, Lord. Okay, well, you know, all the time I was wondering what I was going to be reading this morning, the Lord told me yesterday what I was going to read. So I said, yes, sir. Okay, so we're in Jeremiah 29, and it's 11 through 13. Okay. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me, find me when you search for me with all your heart. Amen? Starts right there, doesn't it? Right in the heart. 18 inches, I think Rick told me once, up in the brain. So we have the mind of Christ. Don't forget that either. Okay, everybody bow your head and join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we're just in awe of your presence, Father God. And you are an awesome God. Everything we need today comes from you. Not looking out anywhere else. That's why there's such a fine line, Lord Jesus. Fine path. Look straight ahead. Keep us straight ahead, Lord Jesus. Not looking right or left. You might get taken off that path once in a while, but our eyes that are focused on you. We'd be able to seek you first. It has to be first. I know it's a lot of them out there in the world out there, self-orientated. Like to do things, start out. Well, you know one thing too. Lord didn't say that, you know, we could pray first, which is starting first, and then step out in him. And thing you watch things, just like men, you know, like we always get to that point, like we put things together without looking at instructions. Done that many times. Lord says, Tom, come on. Been around me about 40, 50 years. So it's just, no, he's joking. He tells me it's an inside joke with him, but I do, once I do look at instructions, definitely. And that's our manual, that's our Bible. It's a daily thing. Need to read. Stay up on that. Continue to pray. Special prayer of righteous man avails much. And I know we've heard it many times. But you know what? God is a teacher. He loves us, and he starts out with some basics a lot of times because we get so busy, basics just fly out the door, so to speak. We forget them. Not a mindset in them, but almost because we work in the world. It says, don't not be part of it. So the thing is, we just keep on doing what he calls us to do. And right now, honestly, just the way everything's going out in the world itself, everywhere, press in. I've said that many times too, but God's asking me, he says, just keep on. I have to do the same thing. It's not what I'm sharing here. It's like I'm right in this front row here, and he's telling me all the instruction I need to do, too. So he and us, don't forget, is greater than he is in the world. So we continue to press in, keep doing what we're doing for his kingdom, and his will be done, not ours. And we ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And if you would turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Father, I thank you again for your word. Lord, I ask that you just fill my mind, fill my heart, and fill my mouth with your word, with your thoughts, with your direction. I again confess to you, Lord, I cannot stand in this pulpit and deliver your word without your anointing. Father, as your word tells us, it is by your anointing that yokes are broken, that people are set free. So, Lord, set us free this morning. Set us free to hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I do want to ask you to keep Kathy and I in your prayers the next 6 weeks. I'm going on sabbatical. We need the time off. If you don't realize it, but like Kathy and I, we get no time. We get no days off. If we need a day off, what we end up doing is hopping in our car and disappearing and turn the phone off, because it's the only way it happens. So we're taking 6 weeks each year. We take a block of time where we can just go and recharge, where we can go, and Kathy and I, just to reconnect. And last year we went to California and with our camper and went all over the place. This year we're going to Erie, Pennsylvania, and coming back and going to be at Forest Lake Campground. Boy, out 3 miles from here. No, you won't. I got orders at the gate. If they look like they are a Christian, they look like they go to Grace Christian Fellowship, don't let them in. No. It's nice there because we get a campground right on campsite right on the canal. We can put our boat in, have our boat for the whole month, you know, that we're there, and do some fishing. Kathy and I love to just go out in the evening at sunset and just shut the motor off and drift in the middle of the lake and watch the sunset and just reconnect and pray and seek the Lord. It's an absolutely wonderful place. Say that again.
Said, we'll marry people
on the boat. Well, you guys. This is another couple. They got married. They came here. We're living together. Realized that they needed to make things right. They end up getting married. They got married in my bass boat in the middle of the lake at Forest Lake. What was really funny was that while we're doing the wedding, this kayaker comes up. It turns out it was Glenn. Mary Glenn. Charlie and Mary Glenn. Mary was, they have a camp on Forest Lake, and she's paddling along. She was like, what are they doing? She paddled right up to us, and she ended up being witness to the wedding. While she's floating in her kayak. Hey, listen, I do weddings, and I'll do it wherever, you know, to bring a couple to the Lord. Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah, that was cool. All right, now, where were we? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. But I want to read verse 8 and 9 and 10 as well. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. This is the foundation of what Paul went on to say to the Ephesian church. To understand is, by grace you have been saved, all right? Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not that you can earn salvation. Salvation is not earnable. But just even get that out of your head, it's not earnable. You can't say, God, look, I did this and I did that. Ain't I something else, man, because I did all this for you. And God say, I don't care. I understand some of the other things that you've done that you don't want to talk about. Oh, Lord, can't we just leave those aside? No, we cannot. We cannot. Because if you're going to put life on a balance beam, where you put all of your good things here and you think it tips the scale, all it takes is one sin. Amen? One sin to tip the scale the opposite way against you. That's why he says here, by grace you are saved, not of works, not by anything that you can earn or anything that you can do. By grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Verse 11, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. What is Paul saying here? Number one, he's saying, well, if you're a Gentile, because he's speaking to the Ephesian church, which was filled with Gentiles. He was saying here that you were called uncircumcision by those who called themselves circumcision. In other words, the Jews. The Jews stood against you because you were Gentile. You stood against the Jews because you're a Gentile and you're not a Jew. And God is saying, listen, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter because all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And he says, therefore, remember. And the word remember, I looked up in the Greek, and it simply means to exercise your memory. Remember. Exercise your memory. Don't forget where you came from. I don't care how long you walk with God. I don't care how deep you get into the Word of God and your experience and your relationship with the Lord. Don't forget where you came from. Because all of that spiritual stuff means nothing if you don't recognize where you came from and the fact that at that moment, at that place and time of your life, you needed Jesus. You could not be saved any other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's so important that we remember. Now, I'm not saying we dwell in the past. You know, oh, Jesus, I was this and I was that. No, I don't care how anybody can ever love me. And I think, I'm just going to go eat worms, you know. I'm not saying you dwell in the past, but I'm saying don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what you were before Christ. Because once Christ enters your life, truly enters your life, and you embrace that, stuff changes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Ladies, stuff changes in your life. Amen? Yeah, don't forget that. But you gotta let him in. And I'll explain that in a little while. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul was just simply saying, as a Gentile, you were estranged from the very promises of God that the Jews were not. Although the Jews still needed Jesus. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No man. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew. Doesn't matter whether you're a Gentile. But now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, You who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Isn't that amazing to understand that you can't be brought near to God without the blood of God itself? Because Jesus was God in the flesh. Amen? Amen? We understand that. We understand the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So it was God the Son, empowered by God the Holy Spirit, to allow himself to get on that cross and to be beaten and to be whipped and to be nailed and to shed his blood for you and for me. And he hung on that cross, and what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even the very ones that are torturing me, the very ones that nail me on this cross, the very ones that purpose to do this to me, Lord, forgive them. That's the kind of love that we can experience from God the Father. He gave us his Son, the biggest, blessed, magnificent gift that God the Father could ever give. He gave us through his Son, Jesus Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, verse 14, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Who wants peace? You know, I remember being a hippie back many years ago when I had hair. I had hair down to here. I mean, long, beautiful hair. You know, I had that, remember that song? And we always said, you know, peace, peace, peace. You remember the peace sign? Oh, peace, peace, peace. We had no idea what peace was. We figured that peace was being the absence of conflict. Peace is where everything was hunky-dory. Everything was A-OK. Everything was a word that we used to use, copacetic. Didn't that sound so spiritual?
What about groovy?
Huh? Oh, that too, groovy, yeah. But no, groovy, that's peace in motion. For he himself is our peace. See, God's peace is not the absence of conflict. Please understand that. Peace, as Jesus said, peace I give you. Peace I leave with you. Not as this world gives do I give you. He said that very clearly in John 14, verse 27. So do you want the peace that this world has to offer, or do you want the peace that God has to offer? Because the peace that this world has to offer is very short-lived, and it is very momentary, and it is very fleeting. But the peace that Jesus gives, peace I give you, peace I leave with you, I'm not going to take it back. I'm not going to take it away from you. I want to give it to you. But will you take it? Will you dwell in this? Will you take this and make it a part of your life? Because I offer it to you. Peace I leave with you. This peace that will keep you in that peace, that framework of peace, even when everything in your life falls apart. So we go, wow, peace, peace. Well, that means that nothing's ever going to go wrong anymore. Nuh-uh. No, it means that when things fall apart and when things start happening in your life that you have no control on, oh, we hate that. We hate that. It's one thing if things kind of go awry, but I can mold it and I can move it around and I can kind of control it to move it back into a place of no conflict. But when it's not that and I can't do anything about it, we go, ah! That's where I lost all my hair. You know, because of conflict and because of all that. And I didn't really understand that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and my mind through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. Not as this world gives, do I give you. See, the blessings of God are always contrary to the blessings of this world. And we look at the blessings of this world, and they're tangible. You know, I can grab a hold of it. And where a lot of God's blessings is intangible. You can't really seem to get a hold of it. But you realize you have it. You realize you really have that peace when things blow up in your face. And you can say, and I'm not saying you go, oh boy, wasn't that fun. I'm not saying that. Because real life happens, and real tragedy happens, and things that yank at our heart and tear our heart and our very spirit apart, that stuff happens. I'm not saying that God's peace is like, oh, well, it did happen, no big deal. That's not what I'm saying. But his peace is a peace that's the anchor of your soul, sure and steadfast, in Hebrews it says, that will bring you behind the veil into the very presence of God, where I can cry out to God, God, this is what happened. Yeah. Kathy and I went through this when we lost children. You know, and I almost lost Kathy one time, the first one. And yet we could cry out to God, God, we don't understand why. We don't understand why, but we know that you're in this and somehow you're going to get us through it. It was that kind of peace that God wants to give you, and he wants to give me. And that peace you'll never find outside of Jesus Christ.
That's right. There you
You can sit on the peripheral of the church and talk about Jesus and maybe read his word once in a while, but if you don't have that personal relationship with him, you don't have that anchor of your soul when the storms of life break out upon you. And those storms of life break out on every single one of us at one point or another. Amen?
Amen.
Who here has never been through a storm of life? No takers? You've never been through a storm of life? You have. Right. I'm not asking who has. All right, I'll ask that. Who has been through storms of life? Oh, more people voting on that one. For he made him... He himself is our peace, who was made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Paul is saying here, and he's making distinctions between Jews and Gentiles. I want to take it a little bit further and say there's going to be a distinction between, Bill, you're what? Are you Italian? No, what are you? You're what?
A mutt.
Oh. He's a mutt. Well, one mutt to another. Yeah? Who here's Italian? Oh. You have to ask you. All right, what's the matter with you? You know? All right. So you're an Italian.
Yes, sir.
I'm a mutt. And you know, God has broken down that middle wall of separation. It separates you from me.
And he used pizza to do it.
Actually, I really like pizza. No, he didn't. He used the blood of Jesus.
I know.
I just had to make sure that we understand what we're talking about here. Because it is the blood of Christ that brings us peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. So he's abolished in his flesh, Jesus himself abolished in his flesh, in the work that he did on the cross, the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so that as to create himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. What Paul is saying here is you had the Jews and the law. And you had the Gentiles that had no law. And the Jews saw themselves as better than the Gentiles because they had the law and the Gentiles didn't. The Gentiles were with no hope. No hope at all. But Jesus is saying, you may be a Jew. You may be of the chosen ones of God. But you sin just like them Gentiles. Therefore, you're in the same boat that they're in, whether you see it or not, because you have sinned and fallen short of my glory. They have sinned and fallen short of my glory. So you may see a distinction between yourselves and them, but I see no distinction at all because you all need me. You all need me. Even the ones who don't think they need God. You know anybody that does that to God? Stay that far, at least that far away from me. Stay right there. Don't move, God. Now I'm going like this. Don't you move, God. Stay right there, God. And they try to get as far away from God as they can possibly get, not realizing that wherever they go, God's there anyways. You can't outrun him. You can't hide from him. You found that out?
Jonah.
Oh, Jonah found that out, yeah. Jonah's in the belly of a fish. But Jonah didn't realize that God's the one to put him in the belly. See, God knew that Jonah was there. He just used the fish to get Jonah's attention. And boy, did he get Jonah's attention. That fish went and puked him up on the beach. And there were some sailors, I guess, that were there. And they go, ew, what is that? He must have been disgusting. But God got his attention. You know, sometimes we're in very disgusting places. And God knows we're there. And he still reaches out and he still grabs our attention. And he still shakes us and tells us how much he loves us. And he doesn't want us in that place. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. He has reconciled both Jews and Greek, Italians and Mutts, Indian and Asian, all different classes and different facets of humanity that we label, put all of these labels on them, and God is saying, I don't care what label you wear, there's only one label I want to give you, and that's me. I want to wash you in my blood. I want to set you free. I want you to love me like I love you. And if you will truly love me like I love you, you will have a purpose in your life that you've never found any other way. Yeah. I tried to find purpose as some of these ladies here. You, when you gave your testimony, what's your first name again?
Chloe.
Chloe, you're talking about how you were overdosing fentanyl and you were doing what, coke, and you're doing this and you're doing that. Man, I'm saying, I know this lady. I'm saying, this sounds just like me. Back 50 years ago. 50 years ago. Well, not quite that long. It was about 45 years ago. That sounds a little bit better, you know. You know, in heroin and crystal meth and LSD and MDA, you know, and all that stuff. Secondals. I can name so many. I mean, the drugs that they got on the street now, they got new names on them. I don't understand those. Fentanyl, I don't understand what it is. But I understand heroin. And it'll kill you, too. And I know what it's like to be in that pit. And at times, that pit was fun. Oh, fun. When I had I was in the hospital a month or so ago with that atrial fibrillation in my heart, and they're trying to get me out of it. It took 17 hours to get me out of it. And they finally said, well, we're going to give you a paddle. We're going to paddle you. You know, it was like, and I was like, I looked at them, I said, well, that's going to be an interesting experience. Not that I was looking forward to it, but, and they said, oh, you won't know a thing because we're going to knock you out. I said, okay, that's cool with me. So they're putting the paddles on me. I'm awake for this, you know. They're putting this big thing in. They're hooking it up to this generator thing that's going to go like that, and I'm going to go like that. And I was like, they got one on my back and one on my front, which means they're going to put that electricity right through my body. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know. I'm starting to get a little worried about it. And then the nurse comes up and takes my IV and gives me this little shot, and he said, night-night. And I looked up at him, and I started going like this. And I said these words, I remember this. Out I went. And then about 15 minutes later, it was very short-lived, and they shocked me twice, didn't work. I started coming back out of it. And I'm like this, and I looked up at the same nurse, and I looked at him and go, I remember this. And he said, yeah, you just said that. But even in the midst of all that, I've done a lot of videos, you know, little short 5-minute, 7-minute videos I put up on Facebook and all. And I did one that night about 3:30 in the morning that I just wanted to assure everyone how much I appreciate prayers and I'm going to be okay, you know, and I even said in the video, Kathy, you'll see this probably before I get to talk to you in the morning. I know you're sleeping right now, but I just want you to know I'm at perfect peace with what's going on. I'm at peace. See, people, God wants to give you a perfect peace. No matter what's going on, I had no control over what was going on. No control. My heart's doing all kinds of strange things. I come from from 5 generations of world men that never made it to the age of 60 because of their heart. Every single one died of a heart attack. When I was 59, it was like, I get heartburn. Is this the big one? You know? Yeah, it was something I had to battle off that fear and dwell in his peace. When I hit 60, hallelujah, broke the family curse. But the whole thing with my heart, you know, it's something you don't have control on. And God wants to give you his perfect peace, particularly in the midst of what you cannot control. And he will if you turn your life over to him. And though he, and through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. See, it's all coming to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, these last four verses, I'm going to do them, lump them right together. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, this is speaking to those who are part of the church, part of God's body, part of the ones who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He's not speaking to anybody else. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord, we'd take care of that right here this morning. But you're not in the body of Christ if you haven't received Christ as Lord. You can think you are, you can say you are, but unless you have that personal relationship with Jesus, it's not going to happen. It's not there. You're not part of the body. But this is speaking to those who are. He says, having been, verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together, say fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, I want to demonstrate that to you, all right? I have here, what is that?
Baseball.
It's a baseball glove, all right? This is a baseball glove that I had growing up, our two children. And Lauren and John Matthew and I, we used to be out in our backyard playing catch. All right. Now this is right-handed. You know, I'm a lefty. But it's the only one that I could find. And actually, I think this was Lauren's. Lauren, she had an arm on her. Man, I tell you, we'd play pepper. You know what pepper is? It's where you wing that ball at each other. It's just as hard as you can throw it. Right, so drill it right in my head, Lauren. Right in my head. It's a good thing I caught it because she was accurate. Now, there's scriptures that say, and in talking to the body of Christ, greater is he who is in you than he was in the world. Amen?
Right.
All right? It says that Jesus wants to inhabit the praises of his people.
Yes.
Right? So there's all kinds of scriptures that talk about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? So now I want you to think of this baseball glove. We are made in the image of God, correct? That's what the scripture says. We're made in the image of God, all right? Now just pretending, okay? Use your imagination that my hand is God. Here is something that was made in the image of God. It doesn't really quite look like a hand, but it looks like a hand. Right? It will function as a hand, right? But in and itself is useless. This glove actually has spent the last few years in a bin under the deck of our porch. And when I dug it out, it had mold on it and all, because it had sat in there for years and was been basically useless. I had to clean it all up this morning. Now, God inhabits the praises of his people. Greater is he who is in me than he was in the world. What God wants to do, as you are made in his image, he wants to be able to inhabit you. As this hand is now inside of this glove, which now makes this glove is very stiff. It's very old. Yeah, like me, I'm stiff and old. But it makes it work. The hand makes the glove work.
That's right.
So now the glove is useful.
Yes.
For the purpose it was designed to be made. Now this was made to play baseball. But what are you made for? You see, if you don't have Jesus inhabiting you, if you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you, then you are useless. In the respect, then I don't want to degrade you in understanding, but you won't amount to anything eternal.
No.
God wants to be the one that says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
I really worked on this to try and make it looser. But do you understand the point? You understand the fact that we were made in the image of God? Now I'm going to take this one step further and then close. Let's say that this isn't just you, but this is the body of Christ. So in the body of Christ, let's say in this area, we have Grace Christian Fellowship, we have Center Church, we have Agape Christian Fellowship, we have Christian Life Fellowship, we have the Assembly of God in Greenfield. We have all of these churches, which are all part of the body of Christ. Not one of these churches is the body. It's just a part of it. But God wants these to be working together to accomplish the purpose of growing his kingdom. And the problem is that there's not enough of churches willing to work together in order to see the kingdom grow. And there's all kinds of reasons why that doesn't happen. But I will say this, it needs to happen. Because God wants to fill the church with his presence and with his body and with his power. Yes. Amen?
Amen. The devil also wants to fill that glove.
The devil also wants to fill that glove.
Instead of God being in
that. That's right. But see, that's what happens when you're not in Christ. When you haven't received Jesus Christ as Lord, you're filled with something. All right? You're being controlled by something. You're destined somewhere. You're destined to heaven or you're destined to hell. And there are churches, well, even preach there really isn't any hell. God wouldn't do that. Well, no, he doesn't. You do it to yourself. He gave you a way where there was no way. He gave you the Lord Jesus Christ. You receive him, the Apostle John said in First John chapter 5, he says, if you receive him, you receive eternal life. If you reject him, you reject that life. So the only ones that ever end up in hell is the ones who have rejected Jesus. Because he made a way. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Please receive me to be your Lord and your Savior. Let me fill you. Let me be a part of you. Let me give you purpose. Let me give you peace. Let me give you hope. Let me give you power. Let me give you myself. But yet you reject me and you wonder why I send people to hell. I don't. You send yourself. Don't blame me. I gave you the way out.
Right.
Oh, but there's many ways to God. No, there isn't. There's many ways to the God of this world, who is Satan. Only one way to God the Father, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And that completes chapter 2. We will pick up Ephesians chapter 3 when I'm back in the middle of August. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we cry out to you. We need you. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone under the sound of my voice, either here or online, on our online church, that has not received you as Lord and Savior, today would be the day that they would reach out to you, Lord, for that hope. Because you said this hope will not disappoint. but it will be the anchor of our soul, sure and steadfast. It brings us into your very presence, brings us into eternity with you. And I thank you for that. We bless you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May it spark our very spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah.